and welcome to the latest edition of the CityWire Ratings Radar Show. Joining me as ever, Frank Talbot, Nisha Long and Angus Foote. And we're going to continue our series of looking at the creme de la creme of fund managers and how they're doing in particular sectors. And this week it's Frank's turn, and he's going to tell us about somebody in the infrastructure sector. I won't spoil the name for you. It's over to you, Frank.
Hopefully I can pronounce his name when we get to that point. But yeah, I've been looking at listed infrastructure funds. It's a relatively large category, actually, by thematic standards, with over 100 funds tracked globally. As I said, not massive, but, you know, certainly big for thematics. And the reason I'm looking at it is it's that classic inflation protected asset. You know, in modest inflationary environments, they can typically pass that on. Now, I'm not saying that we're in a modest inflationary environment today, but certainly they can pass some of those price rises over to the consumers. Irrelatively defensive assets, great cash flow visibility. The manager I've chosen to look at is Noel O'Halloran. Noel. He runs
O'Halloran.
O'Halloran. Are you known to you?
No, I'm just familiar with the
Familiar with your Irish names. Great. Apologies. Okay. So he runs the KBI Global Sustainable Infrastructure Strategy. It's a $700 million fund. I like it because it's that intersection between the inflation protection that I mentioned and the defensive qualities of infrastructure, while also keeping one eye firmly on the transition towards net zero and the required infrastructure spend that's going to be associated with that. They estimate, KBI this is, that there will be half of all global infrastructure spends in the next decade will be directed towards sustainable assets. We're talking trillions and trillions of dollars. So it's a big and rapidly growing pie. They're focusing on infrastructure spends that are directed towards these sustainable markets. So that's water, clean energy, food and agriculture. This is where, you know, it really differentiates itself from its peers, most of whom are focused on more traditional assets like toll roads and airports, along with fossil fuel energy suppliers. Crucially, they have very limited allocation to water. It's typically negligible in sort of traditional infrastructure portfolios. The fund's done phenomenally well since the part of the start of the pandemic. But crucially, unlike a lot of sort of ESG assets and clean energy stocks, it's continued to perform strongly since the middle of last year. You probably put that down to the fact that, you know, these are most of which relatively boring companies, but I'm sure they'd be on the side of saying that boring is beautiful here. It's also how tangible it is. You know, we know we're going to have to drastically change our infrastructure in these areas to meet our net neutral targets globally. Large chunks of the portfolio, you know, therefore aligned with the UN Sustainable Development Goals. Portfolio primarily invested in utilities, as you'd expect, around half the fund. You've got household names like Next Era Energy, it's the largest supplier of green energy in the world, US company, National Grid, Veolia, E.ON. Then you've got a third in companies that own infrastructure assets, and you get a yield from those. An example would be, you know, Greencoat Renewables, an Irish company that owns wind farms and other renewable assets. Then the remaining fifth is in companies that are actively spending on infrastructure projects, like Andritz Group, which is an Austrian company which builds hydropower stations. It's a really interesting fund. I think, you know, now might not be the best jumping on point, but it's certainly the kind of fund you want to have on your radar. Hasn't done massively well this year. It's down around 7%, and that's less than global equities, but it's more than the infrastructure index itself, which, depending on which one you look at, is either flat or down 5%. But I think that's the price you're going to pay for investing in higher growth utilities like they're focusing on. But the drivers for me behind these, they're long term, they're compelling. It's one of those invest and go away type of products. Currently yields around 3%.
Not bad. I mean, you say they're safe, boring names, and the ones you read out do sound safe and boring, which in current circumstances, and we were recording this on the day when world markets have plunged as a result of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. But it must be quite tempting in this department to get sucked into the sort of new technology stuff, which has... is not safe, not boring. I mean, some of those stocks had massive rises last year, followed by massive falls. Noel O'Halloran avoids these, does he?
I think in the main, when you've got Nexteria, that's a 144 billion company. Side by side, you've got some minnows, 500 million market cap. So it's not all defensive, but I think, aligning with that yield target that they have around 3.5 to 4%, it does keep it on the sort of, a surer footing, particularly when markets correct. And I think, like, the point you're talking about, energy security is going to become. Is obviously a massive topic, always has been, but even more so today than it was necessarily a few years ago. And changing your infrastructure in order to meet renewables, installation of renewables, all of the targets we have, it is a very compelling investment.
And presumably more widespread, more diversified than the water funds. Let's bring you in here, Nisha, because you've done quite a lot of work on the water funds.
I've just at one point I did want to make before going on to the water is the top 10 of this fund as well. It has two in the US, two stocks in the US, which is, great. But I think maybe missing a slight trick here because of the infrastructure law that Biden put through end of last year. So it's a $2 trillion plan spend for infrastructure in the US. So this is trying to move away from relying on countries like China, for example. But for example, bridges, addressing climate change, is it something like 20,000 miles of roads they're fixing up as well? So those companies, which are going to benefit from all this spend, I think this is a point where, investors need to get into those kind of companies because there is this mad rush, to do something in the US. But on the waterfront as well, we know that, for example, clean energy, looking at water as well, it hasn't done that well. Last year it didn't do that well. But I think going forwards as well, it's a long-term play. And I think even with this, this fund as well is very environmentally focused. It's looking at climate changes and investing in those kind of technologies. So it should do well in the long term. So, short-term blips shouldn't deter investors from this fund.
Without sort of harping too much on contemporary events, Frank, I think you made the point there that energy security is going to be a big thing. And just to sort of hone in on what's happening this week, we have Germany's going to sanction companies involved in, or actually put a halt, a temporary halt at least, to its new pipeline from Russia. I mean, we've really got to the point there where the fine words about saving the world, curbing global warming, and reducing reliance on hydrocarbons is actually going to bite very sharply quite soon, isn't it?
Bite sharply, and also you renew the investment in alternatives. You find US's energy security is pretty safe with all of its shale supplies and the fact that it's the largest producer of oil, I think, in the world now. But it's definitely moving where Europe obviously needs to decouple itself from fossil fuels, and I think these kinds of markets that are looking to promote sustainable goals in a nice package like this, maybe it's too many themes, maybe you think that dilutes one or the other, but I think pretty good downside protection. Exciting.
Angus, you got anything from the selection point of view here?
A few thoughts, some from my point of view, some from the audience's point of view. First of all, on the energy security issue versus the shift to green energy, I guess to your point about fine words, Richard, the whilst the shift to green energy was desirable and everybody agreed that we should be doing it, it kind of perhaps slower than a lot of people wanted. But perhaps being unhooked from that supply of Russian gas could be the push that the energy industry needs to really shift wholesale into more sustainable solutions in future. So just a thought on that. But I also was listening to Frank talking about the fund, and I would, I guess I would raise a question mark of definition. I mean, the way you talked about it, Frank, would I be buying an infrastructure strategy or a sustainable strategy here? Which is this? And Nietzsche talked about water. I mean, these are all sort of sub themes of sustainability and the sort of the ESG juggernaut that has been powering through the business. So I guess, is this an example of how all funds will evolve to be sustainable? And whether we talk about it as being a sustainable strategy or an infrastructure strategy is irrelevant. So that's one thought. Also, when Nisha was talking about Biden's new package, it reminded me very much of Trump's infrastructure package of whatever, however many years ago that was. Everybody got very excited about infrastructure then because, you know, they were going to replace this crumbly infrastructure in the US. Not sure that really took flight in the way people hoped. And then really onto the fund buyers. When we talk to fund selectors about this, I think they're quite conflicted around infrastructure because they like the idea of infrastructure and, you know, it fits with the hunt for yield and all of those narratives that we've been hearing for so long. But if you buy an infrastructure fund of this type, you're not buying infrastructure projects as the specialist infrastructure investment firms do. You're buying the equities of firms that could benefit from infrastructure growth and investment, which isn't the same thing at all. And I think that is where perhaps the fund selectors find themselves caught between two stools.
Yeah, absolutely. This isn't the traditional understanding of what infrastructure is. I mean, what you're talking about is more the unlisted space, which is, you can still access.
But one challenge there, of course, is that it's very difficult for a lot of our professional fund buyer audience to buy into these, you know, unlisted and non-mutual fund type structures that exist in that space. So totally understandable that people might think about infrastructure, these types of equities instead, but it isn't the same thing.
Yeah, no, it's a different definition. I mean, it's the infrastructure that provides water and that provides clean energy to consumers and sustainable agriculture. That is, you know, that you will find listed infrastructure funds that are more akin to what you're talking about, but this is very much in a different. I think you're right. The lines have certainly been blurred. But this is probably more the future. If you want to go out and buy a toll road, by all means, you know, go for it. But that is certainly not what this is doing.
Yeah, just on that point as well, that Angus is making. So, you know, it's on the bond side. So if you want to go into infrastructure with impact, you know, you go on the bond side, you invest your money, you know, providing money for that project, specific project. So on the equity side, as you have mentioned, it is the companies that you're investing in that are providing, you know, the tools and services to enable them to, you know, have these utility companies or provide the water, et cetera, and pipes and all that kind of stuff. But infrastructure in the sense as well, if you think about it, it's not just utility companies, energy companies, all this. It's all about, you know, transport. It's broadband. It's your electric grid. It's housing. You know, all of that is such a big area. But I think with this fund as well, I mean, it's got 48%, around 48% in utilities, which is, you know, just one side of infrastructure. You know, there's a plethora of other avenues that you can invest in. So it depends on, you know, what the investor wants. You know, so if they want impact and in infrastructure kind of funds, well, not funds, but having an impact, it is the bond funds you want to go into, really, you know, rather than the equity side. But, you know, where are the gains to be had? It's on the equities, though.
Yeah. And you've also got, there's a lot of discussion in Britain, anyway, sorry to go a little parochial, but about changing the capital adequacy rules for insurance companies, and which people are very hopeful will, you know, release billions of pounds to fund projects. And you've already got people like LNG doing this directly, not through their various unitized funds.
Sorry, Richard, just to add to that, that is happening across Europe as well. That's not just a UK thing. I mean, they're sort of doing it in parallel.
Right. And they're putting money into housing, particularly housing with LNG, but lots of other infrastructure projects. And just to go back to Nisha's point, this is where you hone in on particular projects rather than this fund. And, you know, it is a very fine fund, as you say, Frank, and turning in good performance. And I think to Angus's point, some of it's, you know, how sustainable is E.ON? I don't know. It's probably got its own sustainable charter and is trying to do that, but, you know, some of its power will not come from sustainable sources.
Yeah, I think one of the things I guess I perhaps didn't articulate clearly enough around that is I think perhaps the sustainable element of this is a sign of how funds generally are going to evolve, and in that sustainability is going to be baked into most sectors and asset classes in a pretty significant way And that's going to be more and more the case. So whether we talk about sustainable infrastructure now or sustainable anything is really just a transient thing. Down the road, you do infrastructure at all, you need to be sustainable. That's going to be just written in stone.
And also to your point, Angus, it is about the transitioning. I think many of these companies in the infrastructure world are in the point of transitioning to, you know, to green energy or, you know, sustainable sources of, you know, their supplies of the materials that they buy, etc. But I have to come back to what's happening in Ukraine and Russia. So just, you know, listening to the news this morning about all the infrastructure that is being destroyed, well, planned to be destroyed or is at the moment, you know, the ports, etc. These will all have to be rebuilt at some point in the future. Are they going to be looking at the cheaper solution to rebuild all this, or are they going to be looking at the sustainable solutions? You know, that's the question I have. It's like, where are they going to go?
Right. It all adds up to a lot of money. I was with fund managers from another company last week, and they were saying $5 trillion a year. I don't know if anyone else has heard estimates of that. $5 trillion a year, I should say. And that's just to get us to net zero, let alone repair, you know, build the roads that need to repair the roads that need to be repaired and rebuild war-torn countries such as Ukraine.
Yeah, I think they sound like lofty targets that we'll fall short of. I mean, that's not certainly what's been promised to be spent. But yeah, that's part of the reason we're gonna miss that target.
Well, we all need targets. Got to have something to aim for, I think. So, Frank, many thanks for that discourse on Mr. O'Halloran's KBI Global Sustainable Infrastructure Fund, which is hopefully both sustainable and getting the infrastructure bit right. And on that note, I will sign off. And thank you, Frank, and thank you, Nisha and Angus as well. And we'll be back in a couple of weeks with the next edition of the CityWire Ratings Radar Show.